Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they do a great job of switching the looks that they're giving. Obviously, we know about Chris Jones. He's a game wrecker, one of the best, if not the best, interior D linemen in the game right now. And you pair that up with some of their DBs and linebackers, they're flying all over the field. They got guys that are really gap sound in the run game as well. So, again, we're going to have our hands full. It's a very good unit that we're about to face.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen ahead of Bills Chiefs Jeremy and Joe. Good Thursday morning. It's a beautiful morning out there. Weather forecast for the game looks good. High today, 53. High Sunday, 55. A 425 tilt between the Bills and the Chiefs. The eighth meeting in 5 years. And for two quarterbacks to do that, it's only happened one other time. Non-division, that's Manning and Brady. We bring in Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline, Yahoo Sports fantasy writer. Scott, before we get to the fantasy stuff, how much juice you have for this game for Bills Chiefs? I mean, it's one of the marquee matchups in the league. It's not outdated, right? Not overplayed. They play a lot.
Yeah, you could call it the game of the year. I mean, two signature quarterbacks, they play all the time. Whenever you see teams outside of division playing this often, they have to be good. And you know, it's what the NFL wants, right? I mean, we know, you know, success in the NFL is about the depth of a roster, and it's about it takes everybody, right? But the NFL wants to promote itself, you know, as Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Well, here you go, two superstars. I realize Lamar Jackson right now is the MVP favorite, but Mahomes has multiple MVPs. Josh Allen is going to win one some year. I fully believe that. And, you know, it's a shame it isn't a night game. You know, it doesn't have its own stage, but it is in the later window. There's only three games there. And this is when the schedule comes out. This is when you circle. Yeah. And both teams have lived up to it. The Chiefs, I don't know how they keep, you know, escaping. They should be probably 7-2 or something like that. But, you know, the fact that they're 9-0 is a little bit of a joke right now. But they're obviously very good. And Buffalo's right there for all the things that have gone wrong. It hasn't been the most fun of fantasy seasons for the Bills, so we can't seem to find a reliable pass catcher. But there they are, 7-2. And, yeah, I'm ready. I it will be on my main set for the late window, and I can't wait.
I want to get you on one more thing about this game. You might find it nuts. You might say it sounds about right for sports these days. It's not exactly a debate that this game is meaningless, but there are plenty of Bills fans that are justifiably so focused on the final outcome and the playoff matchup, because the Bills have relatively routinely won this game, the regular season game against the Chiefs. How do you feel like a sports fan should square that? I mean, when you're this good, it is always about the end result. But still, inside of the season, there's a story to be told, and there's games to be played.
And there's no guarantee that Kansas City is going to be the one seed. You know, you want to have that home game if you play them again in the playoffs. So I realize that the game that everybody's going to care about is the January game, but you want to. Give yourself every chance, especially since they changed the playoff format. I really thought the 16 2-bye format was perfect. I don't really like the 1-bye thing. The problem that you get in the NFL now, you see so many teams. The Bills are one of them. Houston's one of them. Kansas City maybe one of them. There's going to be a lot of teams that clinch their divisions early. And it's going to question the motivation of teams in mid to late December. And it's always, well, we should play our guys. We don't want to be rusty versus, oh, well, you crazy? The NFL, it's all about injuries. We got to rest people, and we have to be as healthy as we can get. Those are some tough decisions people are going to face later in the season. But, yeah, you have to try to win this game. It's a huge win if you get it for emotional reasons, you know, for a little bit of momentum and leverage. And also, you still could win that. That would give you the tiebreaker. You'd only be one game behind. There are, you know, we saw the Broncos really had the Chiefs beaten last week. The Chargers are a good team now. So if Kansas City wins, I think you can just mail them the division. If they don't, maybe the Chargers could make a run. Yeah, the number one seed is not solidified yet. So you certainly view this as a gigantic, enormous game.
On the Chiefs specifically, he's probably not playing this week, or at least is considered unlikely to play this week. But I asked you about Isaiah Pacheco last week, and given that he's already back practicing, Scott, does that change your thought process on whether or not he could be, you know, one of these late pickup guys in a trade, probably more so, to win a league this year?
The problem with Pacheco is that even when he's activated, you'll probably need that prove it week. Hunt's been good, not electric by any means, but reliable, steady. And so that one week when Pacheco comes back, it may be, it's not like a Christian McCaffrey thing where he came back and he shoved everybody else out of the way. I think Hunt will have some sort of sustainable role even when Pacheco gets his starting gig back. So because there's that gap week, I'm not as proactive as some people might be on Pacheco, plus any kind of a setback, right? And again, the Chiefs in their position, they don't have to push him. They're not in a position of desperation. So I'm probably I have Pacheco shares. They're stashed on IR. I would love to get him back, but I'm probably a little bit less proactive on him than maybe the market is.
Scott Pianowski, quarterback change is coming. We know of one in Indianapolis. We are now flipping the script on what we had from Richardson to Flacco and now back to Richardson. You know, Scott, a lot of times, you know, the non-fantasy point of this is coaches get roasted for doing this. I almost tend to wonder if they protected Richardson from Brian Flores and Sean McDermott. Like, those were the two games that Flacco played, and now Richardson goes back in. How are the rest of the Colts' assets here, if you have any in fantasy, going to be affected by Anthony Richardson going back in instead of Joe Flacco?
Yeah, you asked me this a few weeks ago, and I would have said it's a major change, but Flacco was playing so poorly, it's almost to the point that I dare Richardson to be as bad. We know what Richardson is, right? He takes deep shots. He's going to make two or three plays a game that you're really excited about, but he hasn't been consistent. They haven't gotten a lot of first downs. His completion percentage is something like 44%. Which is almost impossible to do in today's NFL. I agree with you. I think that the benching was at the right time. You know, don't let him embarrass himself against Minnesota, Brian Flores, the blitz packages. We saw the way that Buffalo Colts game started as a pick six on the first snap. Sean McDermott, as you said. So, you know, maybe just give Richardson a time to catch his breath. I actually thought one of the best things that happened to him, this is going to sound a little bit hokey, but after that Minnesota game, Kevin O'Connell coming over to him saying, hey, look, you're going to have a long future in this league, you know, stay positive, your coach believes in you, all that stuff. Yeah, I would follow Kevin O'Connell into a burning building at this point, even though Steve Garman is in a little bit of a slump right now. But, you know, I thought this was a lookout below moment for the Colts receivers. I don't feel that way anymore because Flacco, and we're denied the Joe Flacco revenge game against the Jets, but Flacco was playing so poorly that I only made a very cosmetic change with the Indianapolis receiver room. And look, the great thing about Richardson is that he can make your day with that one long pass. We saw it early in the season where he's going to throw it deep. They're going to take their shots to their different guys. Maybe Alec Pierce is the most interesting one there. But I moved Downs back three or four slots, but nothing significant.
Have we not been talking – I'm looking at the Jets offense a little bit recently, Scott, and just what is sustainable there. How has Breece Hall's season been for you? Because inconsistent maybe is being nice. Like, he actually is still top 10 in points, but I feel like it's kind of been disappointing for a lot of people that's had Hall.
I mean, the Jets are one of the biggest disappointments in the league. I could not believe how poorly their defense was last week. What, 28 first downs and like 57 snaps or something like that? I looked like they weren't even trying, but Hall's been okay. You know, Allen at one point was pushing him for touches. They've kind of backed off that. But when you draft an early running back, you're drafting a team infrastructure. You're drafting a team success. The Jets have not had that. Obviously, they only have a couple of wins. They're not playing with a lead in the fourth quarter. The offensive line has been okay, but not great. Rodgers is a huge disappointment. I think Hall has been failed by his support more than it's anything he's done wrong. But he has the volume every week. And if you get projectable touches, if you get 15 to 20 touches every week, that's just, you can't rank that outside the top 10. And we know that one of the stories of the year this year is usually running back is just crazy with attrition and wide receivers are the safer picks. And this year, that's been tilted upside down. I think it's more fluke than anything else. But Breece Hall has been a disappointment. If your season is going south and you have Breece Hall, I'm sure there's probably another reason why. You know, maybe you just landed on all the wrong receivers. They got hurt, or you know, you trusted the wrong quarterbacks. Maybe you invested the wrong tight ends, whatever it is. Breece Hall put you a little bit behind the eight ball, but I mean, at least he's been playable every week.
Has more disappointing offense this year for fantasy, the Jets offense or the Bears offense?
You know, I think it's the Bears because right now you can't play any of the receivers anyway. Swift has too much volume to bench, but DJ Moore has been a total brick. Keenan Allen, Dunze. Just when we thought we could trust Cole Kmet early on, he was sharing snaps with Gerald Everett, kind of moved him out of the way. I think the lower moment, you know, at least the Jets are a little bit narrower too. I mean, they don't throw to Conklin, their tight end, all that much. They don't have a running quarterback. You know, Williams will run a little bit, but not a ton. But maybe there's just a narrower tree with the Jets. Both teams are sour taste in your mouth. And we'll see. You know, we saw what the Saints fired their coach. They played a really good game last week. You know, MVS has one or two blow-up games a year. So, you know, if you time that well, give me the lottery numbers. But maybe the talk in Chicago was that Shane Waldron was maybe he was too nice. Thomas Davis, at least he played in the league. That gives you some cred with the players sometimes. I realize he doesn't have maybe the most impressive resume. He was the coordinator last year in Carolina. I don't know if anybody could have made that offense look good. Thomas Davis didn't do it, but maybe nobody could. But sometimes you just need a different voice in the headset. You just need somebody else. And now the players, you know, they have their scapegoat, and maybe they can, you know, produce this week against Green Bay. I don't want to play. I'm not even sure if Allen and Dunze are rosterable right now, and I would not want to play DJ Moore. He's a reactive pick more than a proactive pick for me. And to see Caleb Williams take 9 sacks against a Patriots defense that is, you know, below average, sacks are more of a quarterback stat than an offensive line stat. Obviously, the line play is part of it. But that's Caleb Williams holding the ball too long. That's him missing pre-snap indicators. That's him not identifying hot reads. I mean, you can't take 9 sacks in today's NFL. Those are like mini turnovers.
Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. You mentioned the Patriots there. I want to bring out the Patriots as a conversation. And also one of my – it's my favorite little horns to blow, Scott, because, Joe, I'm probably annoying everybody with this, but I like the Drake May, Josh Allen comparison. And I would imagine you're watching plenty of Drake May. Like, he's definitely not as good as Josh Allen is, but from a creation standpoint, outside the pocket standpoint, he's brought that offense to life with what he does. And in his first 5-6 starts, like, he's fourth all-time in rushing yards. Like, the guy is probably more of a dual threat than anybody gave him credit for, the same way that Allen was when he came in. I don't remember people talking about Allen a lot that way. He showed up and he ran and he made plays. And I feel like the May-Allen comparison is better than most Allen comparisons.
You talked about the Colts going back to Richardson. At this point, all that matters in their season is developing Anthony Richardson and finding out what he is. All that matters to the Panthers right now is seeing if Bryce Young can play. The only thing the Patriots care about this year is they want to get out of the season and think, yeah, we got the right quarterback. And I think they do. Drake May, the game is not too fast for him. He never, even when the offensive line has not played well and he's taken hits, doesn't seem to faze him. He has a pretty ordinary receiver room, but he's made things go. Little Pop Douglas, Boutte was pretty good last week, and I think he's an interesting sleeper. He's on the field for most of their pass plays. Hunter Henry occasionally can be somebody you can use as a tight end, probably around tight end 12 to 15 on most boards. We're still in the middle of bye week season. All the Patriots want is to know. I don't know if they have the right coach in Mayo, but I agree with you with May. He just looks the part. Nice to have that athleticism. Nice to you don't want to live with your running, but it's nice when you can sprinkle it in. He's competitive. He can make all the throws. He can threaten all strata of the field. And this is all the more reason why the Bears fans have to be sick right now, because Jaden Daniels is going to be Rookie of the Year, and Drake May is playing really well. And even Bo Nix, you know, Bo Nix, yeah, in a year where I feel like the fantasy floor has disappeared for quarterbacks, and I'm never surprised when any named quarterback has an 8-point game, has a 7-point game. I feel like Bo Nix has 14 points in his back pocket every time he starts. And that's, you know, I got another quarterback who's not afraid to run. I know he came into the league older. We used to view that as a negative. Maybe that's a positive, just more experience, a little bit more mature, a little bit ready for the professional game. So you know, while we don't know what Williams is, Daniels has been a smash. I'm really impressed with May. I think Bo Nix has been pretty good, too.
The ultimate Bo Nix endorsement, I can give you that. I said to Joe maybe yesterday, 2 days ago, Scott, I've been riding with him in guillotine because, as you say, the floor is low. Like, his floor is 14, you know, with the rushing yards. And the Denver offense, they've just switched maybe to Audric Estime. Like, what do you make of that Denver backfield, which has been kind of a mess for a while?
Also, did I make a mistake giving 40% of my fab budget on him? Because I have already gone in on him.
You know, at this time of the year, you're not, what are you waiting for, right? You can't hold the money. There's not going to be we know he's a limited player, right? What do you have, 18 catches his senior year at Notre Dame, or his final year at Notre Dame, and he doesn't have a catch in the NFL. So maybe he's a Gus Edwards type. But he's at the head of this backfield. I don't think they like Javonte Williams that much. McLaughlin's always going to be a change of pace back. And he looked okay last week against Kansas City, who's about the toughest rushing defense you're going to face. Now, the Falcons have been pretty good against the run, too. But the Broncos are at home. They're favored. We talk about when you invest in a fantasy running back, you're investing in the team's success. I think the Broncos have a decent chance to at least, if not win this game, be competitive in this game. So Estime is going to get 13 to 15 carries. I just hope they can throw the ball to him occasionally. You know, why not? Just get him involved in space, get him outside the numbers, let him build up a head of steam. But at this point, you know, perfect is the enemy of good, right? There is not a perfect player on the waiver wire, not a perfect running back on the waiver wire. We're just looking for somebody who's good, who's playable. I have Estime ranked in the mid-20s, probably a flex play for some teams. If you're really hit by the buys or injuries, maybe he becomes your running back too. But hey, Sean Payton offense, I like Nix. I think it's a game Denver probably wins. I can ride with Estime this week with confidence.
Scott Pianowski in the Western Hotline. We're looking around the landscape of the league and fantasy. Is the Giants switching to Drew Lock? Should they do that? I know they haven't announced it yet, but if they switch to Drew Lock, does that change anything significantly for you about the Giants offense?
I mean, was that line from Cocktail? Anything else is something better, right? I mean, I just don't know how they can trust Daniel Jones, and there is an injury clause in his contract that certain amount of money would be triggered if he were to get hurt. At some point, they're probably going to play to that. They'll deny that. You know, there's plausible deniability, I guess. But to see Jones faceplant against Carolina, that was probably the last straw. And when the changes so commonly get made during a bye week, you reassess. Dable, at this point, he's playing for his job. He's coaching for his job. He needs to find some kind of an answer. And it's, you know, I thought Malik Nabers, I would have thought 4 or 6 weeks ago, Malik Nabers is going to the moon. He's going to get peppered, you know, 10, 12, 15 times. Unfortunately, those are Daniel Jones targets. And because they can't sustain offense, he hasn't gotten to that point. Wandale Robinson, I think it's 5 games without a touchdown for him. Tracy's been good. He put the ball on the ground a couple of times in the Europe game, so including a fumble in overtime, which ultimately cost him the game. But he has pushed Singletary out of the way. That's when you know Dable's really frustrated. Because Singletary's his guy, and he's like, well, I got to play the best guys. Tracy's my best guy. Now, if I were a Nabers manager, if I were even a Wandale Robinson manager, if you held him through the bye week, I think you just need somebody different. Drew Lock is somebody different. You know, giving them a chance. Right now, Daniel Jones does not give them any kind of a chance to be successful.
And if you're Drew Lock, like I would champion Nabers here to end the season. They finish their fantasy playoffs are Ravens, Falcons, Colts. Rather, Ravens, Falcons, Colts. Like, teams have been scoring on those teams quite a bit, and I'd imagine Drew Lock, if he's going to go in and try and win the job or convince them to keep him, he's going to throw it to the stud receiver that catches everything.
Right, yeah, target him off the bus. And isn't it so funny, the Ravens can't stop anything through the air, and you know they play the Steelers this week, and I would always talk about this game like the rock fight. It's going to be a weird score. It's going to be like 15-12. It's going to be 18-16. Any team that gets to 20 points would definitely win. That's out the window now because Jackson, who already has 2 MVPs, is probably playing the best football of his career. He's got so many pieces around him. Wilson's actually playing pretty well for Pittsburgh. I think there's going to be a lot of points in that game. Normally, you know, again, 20 points would win, and I think you need maybe 27 or 30 points. How much fun did the Bengals and Ravens have last week in what was a horrible week 10 otherwise for fantasy, but the Bengals-Ravens game was one of the best of the year. Jamar Chase had the highest score of the year. The Ravens, you know, I know they got Deontay Johnson because he was so cheap. I don't know if they're ever going to onboard him to make him viable this year. Bateman's had a good year. Flowers is a star. Obviously, Henry and Jackson need to be fed, but that second, I don't know how they're going to fix that secondary. They're going to get thrown on by everybody, and as you said, you know, anybody who sees Baltimore in the schedule, You're thinking pinball. You're thinking shootout. You're thinking back and forth, total maybe over 50 in some cases. Baltimore's actually a really good matchup for the fantasy playoffs.
Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. Scott, thanks very much. Are you still live in Guillotine? Did we already ask that?
I am. Don't have any fab leverage, and I am projected to have the lowest total of the eight teams left.
Oh, wow.
It's basically Henry and Kyron Williams and the strength of my team. I have Kittle also. I have a pretty sketchy receiver room. I don't know if I can trust Brian Thomas right now. Man, a lot of offenses are just off the rails right now. Jacksonville's one of them, and even though Thomas is terrific, can I trust them? Cedric Tillman has become like, you know, you will ply him. Fly him away from my dead hands, my dead cold hands, because Cedric Tillman's become my guy. In fact, my signature move in that league 3 weeks ago was cutting Deontay Johnson on Sunday to pick up Cedric Tillman and getting him to produce. And I just stuck this in. I'm here. I know he's going to throw a couple of picks because he's Jameis Winston, but I am here for the Jameis Winston revenge game. And I think the Browns, they have a very difficult schedule after this week, but I think Jameis goes for 300 in multiples against that Saints defense.
Very good. Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. Thanks. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
You can follow him on Twitter at Scott_Piano. That's PianoWSKI.
We are both still going in Guillotine.
We are, indeed.
And I've learned that Jalen Hurts is like the best Guillotine quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
For this format, because he gets a rushing touchdown like every single week.
Yeah, pretty good floor for him.
And he is playing well. That's tonight's game. He's playing. There are a lot of numbers on him down the field. He's been like one of the best downfield quarterbacks for like 2 months now. Really, like almost like for outside the first like 2 weeks, maybe he's like the best in the league.
Who's the team that right now nobody's thinking of that's going to get hot or going to start getting in attention?
I would almost even be willing to say the Eagles a little bit, but they're so overrated in the first place that I feel like they can't be the answer to this.
Would you say the winner of the Bengals-Chargers game?
Yes.
If the Chargers win, they are 7-3.
And
if the Bengals win, that's a good win for them. And, you know, are they going to get in and be scary?
Yeah. All right, here's my answer. Here's my answer for this. Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona is, like, they're not just beating teams. Like, well, at least the last 2 weeks, this is true. They rolled the Jets and rolled the Bears in back-to-back weeks. Like, those are teams they probably should beat right now, but they're just smacking them around. Like, offensively, they've been really dynamic. I think Murray's playing great. I think Arizona is, like, real. I think they're actually good. I don't think they're Super Bowl good, but I think they're, like, actually good. If they won a playoff game even this year, I don't think it would surprise me. They're still in first in the division.
Yeah.
They play Seattle this week, then Minnesota, then Seattle again. That's their next three games. And then they finish with Patriots, Panthers, Rams, Niners. So,
fun question for you. We're talking, like, those races. How about the MVP race? So, Aaron Schatz of Fantasy Life.
FTN Fantasy now. FTN is where he's Fantasy, got DVOA, okay. Yep.
Yeah, creator of DVOA. He pointed out the biggest gaps between the number one and the number two quarterback by passing DVOA by year. All right, so basically, how far is the best DVOA quarterback from the second best? And here's some context.
Okay.
The five biggest gaps. Steve Young over Troy Aikman in 1992. Manning over Culpepper in 2004. Staubach and Jim Zorn in 79.
Okay.
Manning over Breeze in 2006 is the second biggest gap. The biggest gap in the history of DVOA, and the going back to 1979, the biggest gap between the number one DVOA quarterback and the number two is right now.
Is it Lamar?
Lamar's the easy get. Who's number two? Who's the number two DVOA passing quarterback in the NFL?
Just passing?
It's QB by passing DVOA.
Oh, wow.
Is what he writes.
Which is amazing because that. Okay.
For Lamar to be number one there.
And not even including the rushing.
Passing DVOA, Lamar is number one. Who is number two?
My guess is going to be Brock Purdy.
Keep guessing.
My guess is going to be, it's not going to be Allen or Mahomes, because that would have been, we wouldn't have asked the question this way. Burrow.
Again.
Goff.
I'm going to be Herb Brooks again.
It wasn't Goff?
Nope.
Daniels.
Again.
Hurts.
Again.
Murray.
Yes.
It is Murray?
It's Kyler Murray.
Yeah. He's been good. He's been really, really good.
Right, you were going on Arizona there, and I'm like, oh, I saw an interesting thing on Kyler Murray. So,
right,
Kyler Murray's the number two DVOA passer right now.
Yeah, his box score stats on the year, he has 2,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 3 picks. That's 205 per game. That's another one of those. This is a lot of the league, I know, but 205.8 yards per game is easily the lowest of his career. Like, look at his first couple years in the league. 232 per game, 248, 270 per game. And this year he's at 205. So yep. He's not throwing the ball at the same regularity. He does have a career high in completion percentage. I don't have it in front of me, but I guarantee you I'd look at air yards the same way we do with Allen and others, and I bet he's probably the lowest of his career there too.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR. We've got to do our Thursday three-way parlay for tonight's Commanders-Eagles game. And also, guess the dog of the day. I'm looking up all the famous people from St. Louis. Pretty good list.
There's also a dumb thing that I probably shouldn't be mad at that I'm already allowing myself to be mad at. And I need somebody to tell me you shouldn't care about this.
Oh, I love to do that. All right. I'm excited for that.
All right.
We'll be back with all that stuff before the end of the show. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Give us a call. 803-0550.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday Night Football means one thing. Darn it, we're going to win one of these, guys. We're in it together.
We're beginning our competition, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Where the loser has to do what?
The loser has to
watch the Chiefs Hallmark movie.
Yes. Yep. Okay. And then report back.
Right. All right, Thursday three-way parlay. It is Commanders at Eagles tonight.
Okay.
Whose turn to go first?
Josh, you want to go first?
I'm trying to think who went first last time. Was it me or you?
No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it. I don't remember.
I'll go first then. Let's go Devonta Smith over on receiving yards, 52.5.
I like that one. He's been good of late.
Mm-hmm.
He's healthy again. Devonta Smith over 52.5. Okay. I want receptions. Give me Zach Ertz over 3.5 catches.
Okay. They're going to be for 9 yards.
That's right. I mean, hey, you asked
total,
me.
Total.
You asked me when the Bills drafted Dalton Kincaid, would you take Zach Ertz? And I said no. And I stand by it till today.
Today you wouldn't take prime Zach Ertz?
I don't know. I mean, he'd get targeted more. He'd get more catches. He was a volume guy. Anyway, Ertz over 3.5.
I think the more he plays football, the more I think he's Zach Ertz, by the way. Everything short. I'm going to go All right. I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin under 60.5 receiving yards.
Quinyon Mitchell maybe, or there's someone
Yeah, they have They have a good secondary.
So Quinyon Mitchell has been he's locked up pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
That he's played. The numbers on this Eagles corner. I'm reading an article here today from the Washington Post about like McLaurin has roasted the Eagles time and time again, but Quinyon Mitchell has locked up almost everybody he's played. So I like that one.
And McLaurin is catching an insane yards per target, yards per catch. Like there are bomb plays happening, which is good. And like I'm not saying those are going to go away. I just think they're a little less easy to count on. It is happening like every week where Daniels is hitting McLaurin on a bomb. But that, I guess that's my bet. My bet is against that happening, and I think he's a little reliant on that. Two weeks ago, two catches for 19 yards. Like, he's still capable of that stinker. Although both those went for touchdowns, to be fair.
There you go. Thursday, 3-8. Smith, Devonta Smith over Terry McLaurin under Zach Ertz over on catches.
Okay.
What's the over in the game? I guess I should look at that. Like, the books expecting this game to be?
They think this will be a scoring game. 48.5.
With a 3.5 point spread to the home team, Philadelphia.
Which I think might be, I don't think I saw a higher number this week. Ravens Steelers is the same number, 48.5.
Okay.
The Bills and Chiefs are definitely going to be lower than that. But how much lower? Is it not up? 46.5. Okay, not much. Want to guess the dog of the day?
I do.
I have it.
We'll go right to the dog of the day. The Sabres play the Blues tonight. Listen, if you beat the Blues, now we're at, what, five out of six? 4 out of 5. They had a 3-game win streak. They lost to Montreal. Now you're at 4 out of 5. Then play the Flyers, 5 out of 6. No Tage if he doesn't play tonight. That's tough, and you might have to go to Levi as well and get a game from him. So, tough task tonight, but all right. Dog of the day, St. Louis in town.
Mm-hmm. Do you want my list of St. Louis people? John Hamm, among others.
That's right. John Hamm and John Goodman.
Okay. What would the John Goodman dog be?
Other famous people from St. Louis. Nelly. They already had a Nelly dog.
Nelly. Chuck Berry.
Joe Buck and Jack Buck are both from St. Louis.
Okay. Cedric the Entertainer.
Yep.
Phyllis from The Office. And Pam from The Office, both from St. Louis. That one I knew because she, I think, is a season ticket holder or something.
Do you
She's
have
always
the dog of the day?
I have it.
Okay. I'm guessing it's going to be called the Yogi.
Okay, it's not. It's called the Slinger.
Oh! All right. I saw this. There's a sandwich called the Slinger, or it's... I saw what this was as a St. Louis staple, but I don't remember it now. So what do we got? We've got I don't remember what's on a slinger, but I have read about a St. Louis slinger.
Yeah, it's a St. Louis it's a common sandwich. Hot dog topped with chili, shredded potato, cheddar, and jalapeno.
Jackpot. That's a jackpot right there.
That's a great dog right there.
Yep. Winner of a dog.
The thing that I shouldn't be mad at, but I'm getting mad at it. I need someone to tell me that this is absolutely not something that I should be getting mad at. Is related, I guess, to the Sabres.
Okay.
Someone tell me I should not be getting mad at this article in quotes from Bill Guerin, the GM of the Wild, who's also the GM of USA Hockey right now, who is making comments that are leading to like Tage Thompson won't be on Team USA this year because they want penalty killing. And they want defense. And I got quotes like, oh, you can't build an all-star team. Just. And he actually does make a comment about Thompson. Like how, oh, you know, we might want somebody to take face-offs and penalty kill for us, even though one guy might actually be a better and more talented hockey player.
Yeah. I mean, Tage is great.
He's like one of the 5 best centers in hockey right now, isn't he?
He scores a ton. He's not a defensive liability. He scores even strength. He's a power play asset. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
So this is my thing. Is it dumb to get mad about Thompson potentially getting left off in 4 months for a made-up tournament that's going to last a week? The Four Nations Cup.
I guess it's not. Should you be mad about that? No, probably not. Don't we silver lining it with he gets some rest and he needs some rest and the Sabres season is more important? Then again, Darlene's going to play.
It's a little bit of that. It's more to beyond that. Like, I am invested in, like, USA hockey. Like, I want to see them beat Canada badly in tournaments, and you never get to see them in tournaments. And it's like, you look at the players they have, and it's like, oh, finally, for the first time, like, ever, you could put a roster of Americans up against a roster against Canadians, and the talent disparity is not that large. And here's USA Hockey, like, oh, you can't build an all-star team. We need to put, you know, we need to get our Brock Nelsons on the team so that we can defend Sidney Crosby better.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
The other player was about Cole Caulfield. Who leads the NHL in goals, how, like, he might not make the team because they want two-way players. But,
yeah.
Sweet.
Right. All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The latest on the standings, like, you know, Sabres tonight home. It's funny. The Atlantic just looks like this, right? The Sabres a day ago were in a playoff spot, and now they're in 7th out of 8 in the Atlantic.
Right. Well, everyone's stacked together, right?
Win tonight, and you're a point behind Boston, who is in the 3 spot. It really is starting to look like the wild card. I mean, the wild card is 16 points. The Sabres win tonight. They pass Ottawa. They go into a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they pass the Rangers. Ottawa with a game in hand. So it does look like a year, Joe, where there might be 2 teams that make the playoffs with like 93 points.
Which, well, that's happened back-to-back seasons, hasn't it? Like the bar's been lowered recently. I know the Sabres was by 1 point. What, they have 91 points?
Last year, 91 was the last spot. But the second last spot was 98.
The Islanders got in the Metro with 94.
2 years ago, that's the Islanders 93, Panthers 92.
Yeah.
2 years ago. And then there's 3 years ago where the 8th spot was 100.
Right. And I think really what has changed there is Washington and Pittsburgh have really gotten older.
I mean, well, Pittsburgh just made a trade to sell. Lars Eller for a 3rd-round pick.
Well, they're below the Sabres right now in the standings. Washington, too, like... You know, you asked about Ovechkin and his, like, he's scoring goals at an insane rate. I think he's got 10 already on the year, and that's helping this, but they're kind of back. And I don't know if that's going to last, but that was a team when thinking about the Sabres for the playoffs. Like, I would have thought, okay, Capitals don't have to worry about it anymore. They finally started showing their age. They were not good last year. It was amazing they even had the season they did, because a lot of their underlying numbers were like, this team is not that good. And then this year they've come out like, oh, yeah, they're right back to being the Capitals of like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So, I don't know. I look at it right now and think, I still am left with, I've got to count on Tampa and Boston not flipping a switch and just being Tampa and Boston. Because if they do that, there's no spot available. Right?
Yeah,
you need Tampa to be a low 90s point team. You need Boston to be a low 90s point team. Or you need the Capitals, again, to just this all to be fake in the first 15 games of the year. And then I've got 6 teams battling for 1 spot. Like, I know we talk about the league with parity, but I'm starting to really go the other way. I made this point the other day that just in the East, how much parity is there when every year it's the same 6 teams? It's just like that team, Florida, Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay, Carolina, like all the Rangers, those teams are all automatically in every year.
Yep. 803-0550. When we return, we reveal the Bills' legend of the game.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Over the middle. That's complete. Fearless Price. Price off to the races. 40, 30, 20. Can he get there? He will. Touchdown, Buffalo. 73 yards. Price's 2nd TD catch of the day.
Fearless Price, the legend of the game Sunday. And that's Greg Gumbel on the call. And
Fearless Price.
The Bills call. At least I didn't know where to find it myself. But Peerless Price, 2 touchdowns that day. I had him on my fantasy team. I remember that in 2002. Yes, I do.
In 2002?
Yes, he was on my fantasy team.
Yep. On what site?
Oh, I mean, that's when you did it with your college friends and they would get the paper box scores and do scores by hand.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I had Peerless Price. Mm-hmm. Ricky Williams had 2 big touchdowns that day. It snowed, but it's Peerless Price to the end zone, and in the end zone is Jim Kelly. He hugs Jim Kelly. Snow falls. The Bills beat the Dolphins that day. A Bledsoe game. Yeah. Peerless and Molds.
Peerless.
Great tandem.
What a season, by the way, where how historic is this? Peerless Price that year, 148 targets. Eric Molds, 180 targets.
Yeah.
Can you find, how rare would it be to find two receivers that combined for 328 targets on a season?
Everybody eats. I mean, and that day, that team, it was those two that ate.
It was literally just those two, yeah. And Larry Centers.
Larry Centers.
Ain't 63. Like, that's fullbacks. Although he was a different type. Peerless Price.
I liked him. Josh Reed as well.
Yep. Price came back, too, right?
Yeah, two. He's a two-time Bill.
He's a two-stinter. Yeah.
How many two-stinters do we have?
We have a three-stinter on the team right now.
Jordan Phillips.
Two stint Bills. I mean, Quentin Jefferson's also on the
team. We don't count guys like Elianku or Ruvell Martin, who are up and down and released and back. Two stint Bills.
Cole Beasley.
Okay.
Even though that was in back-to-back seasons, but he did play for Tampa in between. John Brown also was at the same time. I'm trying to think. Is there like a great player, though, that would have done this? Like, did, like the Sabres, Dave Andrechuk comes to mind for me.
Okay. The best Bills player to ever come back.
Yeah, maybe Price is the answer. He's great. 1,200-yard season, 9 touchdowns. That was the one 2002 year.
This is where I am, it's by law, I have to point out that was a bull crap pass interference call he drew in the 1999 opener against the Syracuse Orange, where on a fourth down call, Will Allen was flagged for pass interference at the Carrier Dome, thereby extending Tennessee's drive to beat Syracuse in one of the greatest games ever played. And I can't believe they threw that flag. That's all. I'm not bitter. I don't remember it that clearly, Joe. I wasn't in the stands celebrating Syracuse beating.
What are we talking about right now?
1999.
Was this game in black and white? Like, how long ago were we going back?
How dare you, sir?
Was it even on TV?
It was Donovan McNabb at the peak of his powers and T. Martin, 1999. Syracuse, I believe they opened the season. Had to be the season opener. And then I think they lost to NC State the next week,
there you go. Didn't even matter.
Well, it mattered because they lost the opener, and they were gut-punched so bad on such a terrible call.
What was the record that year? 99?
They're probably like 9-3 and went to the Orange Bowl and got hammered by Florida or something.
99. They were 7-5. What are we even doing? You were mad about a 7-5 ACC team from 50 years ago.
Was that the year they whacked Michigan? No, that was 98.
They lost to Michigan.
Okay.
The year I'm looking at.
There's a year they go in there and they just absolutely wax Michigan like 35-10. McNabb ate him up. It was great.
Yeah, they went 8-4 the year before that and beat Michigan 38-28.
Okay,
maybe that's the season.
It wasn't 99. It was 98.
Okay, 98 they went 8-4.
Yeah, 98. They lost to Tennessee in the opener by a point. The next week they waxed Michigan. Okay, they lost to NC State a couple weeks later and West Virginia. They got hammered in the Orange Bowl by Florida 31-10. Anyway, not pass interference, Peerless. And if I saw you this week, I would tell you, you dove. He didn't dive. It's probably a call. It's fine. Just not bitter about it.
I feel like I'm ready to say he was the best two-stint Bill ever. Although he didn't do a lot in his second stint. That's the key. You want to be good in the second stint, too. Like, Beasley and Brown didn't do anything when they came back.
Yeah.
Price had 400 yards, like, I guess a little bit.
All right.
You often don't get a great second stint in any...
No.
Any circumstance, I would say.
No, that's right.
Andrechuk with the Sabres, and they scored like 20 goals, but.
All right. Wish me luck. You're off to. How about
Pominville was good in his second stint.
Let's talk about our days. You're off to see Taylor Swift.
I'm going to see Taylor Swift. I have a very quick dilemma. Everybody I'm going with is wearing something that's like, I guess you wear an era.
Yeah, great.
So, like.
Pick one. You got to wear something.
But I think I'm just going to pick a flannel.
You're
That's
off to
folklore. Bam. I'm wearing a flannel.
You're off to Taylor Swift, and I'm doing colonoscopy prep. great times.
Very different.
Have yourself a good time, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.